972-335-3231.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
We continue in our series on Mega Grace, and my title for this message is Grace, the Best Life. This is part two from our early service. Grace, the Best Life. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20, the Bible says, at verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2, verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Grace, the best life. We all understand that have walked with the Lord any length of time that God takes us through seasons, through processes, but in the processes, God, in his sovereign way, is able. Someone say he's able. We cannot wrap our mind around this, but God is able to work everything. Everything. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together. Someone say, all things work together. Only God sovereignly can work all things together for our good. In other words, the outcome of all the stuff you've been through and all that you've wrestled with, and all that thought that it was going to take you out, and all that has blocked you and resisted you and oppressed you, God can take that in a day's time and turn it around, and what was against you begin to work for you and for your good. In hindsight, I can see some experiences I've had that at the time I wished I'd never had. But they were some of the best teachers. You know what I mean? I'll never do that again. You know what I mean? That would be the furthest thing from my mind ever. Amen? Because it taught. And somehow God worked that together for the good. How many know he can bring you through the fire and you won't smell like smoke? God can bring you through a fire and you won't smell like smoke. You won't be burned. He can bring you out of a lion's den without being bloodied up, without having been bitten. Paul was bitten by a fiery serpent, a serpent that was venomous. Islanders knew that serpent. And they knew the potency in the venom. And they watched Paul. They said, this man escaped the sea, but he couldn't escape fate. This must be an evil man.
And they watched Paul as he shook the serpent off. And in moments, he was to swell up and fall over. But there was no swelling. Come on, there was no falling over. Huh? Because God took that the devil meant for evil and turned it around. And those islanders begin to worship Paul. Paul said, don't worship me. They took him to the chief. Chief was sick. Paul healed the chief. Total island changed. God will take what was meant for evil and turn it around for good. Now, I want to talk a little bit about our processes. It's important to embrace the process. I listened to an NBA player. He's one of the prominent NBA superstars, share a philosophy about his work ethic and about his consistency in performing on that level. And one of the things that he said stayed with me. He said, you have to fall in love with the process. You know, everybody wants results, but they hate the process. Everybody wants to perform and win the gold medal at the Olympics, but they don't want to get up in the morning at 5, 4 o'clock and go to exercise and then running. They don't want to pass by the donut shop. They hear them donuts calling them, Apostle, Apostle. Donuts with your name on them. But if they want that prize, and you can, tell someone you can, fall in love with the process. When you really embrace the understanding and the value, and God begins to show you results, when you become aware that because you ceased eating certain foods that your energy level has increased, or you're not having that pain in your lower back or wherever it might be, but you're noticing an increase in your health. Hello? Tell someone, fall in love with the process. You see, there are certain aspects of our life that exist outside of God's divine protection. It's like I said a couple of weeks ago, oftentimes we want God to bless our finances, but we don't want to change our spending habits. Or we want the Lord to bless our health, but we don't want to change our eating habits. Or we don't necessarily want to exercise. Huh? Well, how can God intervene if we don't cooperate? But see, if we fall in love with the process, see, people see things afar off, but you have to understand the way you eat an elephant is a bite at a time. I mentioned this morning, God showed me something this week. I'd studied it, read it, you probably have read it, and we have an understanding, a general understanding of it. But he showed me this with a rhema word. He said, commit the keeping of your soul to me in well-doing. That phrase, well-doing, has to do with virtue. In other words, the way we commit the keeping of our soul to him is in well-doing. Not so much when everything's going right and you feel like doing good. What about when you're being challenged? What about when you're being mistreated? Are you committing your soul to the Lord in well-doing toward the person that's mistreating you? Or have you just cut them off? Or are you coming back at them with what they're coming at you with? Well, in so doing, you're not committing your soul to God. Amen. See, there are aspects of our soul that, if you're not careful, will come out from under divine protection. That's where frustration, anxiety, fear, anger, all those things start to try to govern your life and get into your relationships and mess stuff up. Your perception, your awareness, even, and it will ultimately affect your health and the way you think, all of that is connected. Don't think it's not connected. It's all connected. Your health is very much related to how you think. Amen. That's why it's important to get the proper image on the inside. You can exercise, you can exercise every day, 5-10 hours a day if you did that, and still die of something if the inside is not in alignment. You know, some people do stuff out of fear, that fear is governing them. And though you get all muscle bound and everything, still fear is governing you. And you never experience real health. Health has to do with wellness, a sense of well-being. Hello? You might be able to run 25 miles, but you still don't have a sense of well-being. Are you hearing? It comes from within. So there are aspects of our lives that can exist outside of God's protection. And if that is the case, listen to me. This is a little bit of meat. I gave a little bit of meat to chew on this morning. But if there are aspects of your life that exist outside of God's protection, then God himself will seek to destroy that. He'll seek to destroy it if you don't pull it in. Are we clear on that? And when we talk about aspects outside of God's divine protection, we're talking about the carnal nature, deceitfulness, you know, dishonesty, jealousies, strife, contention. You know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, this doesn't cost you nothing. This is just a sidebar here, but I was studying some of these things that the Lord said to put off, and one of them is inordinate affection. Amen. Have you ever studied that? I've studied that for years and years. I've read it, you know, and then I understand. But I saw something different about inordinate affection. That's a work of the flesh. Inordinate affection that is inordinate. In other words, let me use an example of someone that gets married and their wife can't even look at another man. Okay, I saw you say hi to that brother. I saw you. What you doing shaking hands with him? That's an affection, but it's inordinate. And an inordinate affection is an affection born out of a hurt or born out of a wound. You know, when we look at the world today and how they've redefined marriage and all of that, you can say what you will or may about a person being born a certain way. But no, all of that stems from inordinacy. All of that stuff that's whack, twisted, and out of God's order is born out of an inordinate affection.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in Mega Grace.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.